Now, the Bodhisattva, despite the rather beautiful way in which he's depicted in art, the Bodhisattva also really has rather a hard time of it, or at least not a very easy time of it. He has all sorts of things to practice, all sorts of things to cultivate and to develop. And especially, he has to practice, he has to cultivate what are termed the six paramitas. These are usually rendered perfections or virtues. But neither of these renderings is very satisfactory. We can perhaps best render the term as disciplines for the attainment of enlightenment. The first paramita, the first discipline, is that of dana, giving, generosity. There's of many kinds according to the Mahayana tradition, some of them comparatively gross, others comparatively refined, subtle. There's the giving of material things, food, clothing, shelter, and so on. There's the giving of education and culture. This is included also in the duty, we may say, of the Bodhisattva. And then there's a very important psychological gift, the gift of fearlessness, the gift of freedom from fear, of psychological, even spiritual security. So many people nowadays suffer from very profound feelings of insecurity. The Bodhisattva should resolve those feelings. It seems as though the Bodhisattva has to be, among other things, a sort of psychotherapist on the transcendental plane. And then the Bodhisattva has to give the gift of the Dharma, the truth, the teaching, which doesn't mean just handing people a little tract, but it means sharing with other people your own understanding, your own experience of the truth of things, so far as it goes, and pointing perhaps to the understanding and experience of others more extensive than your own. And lastly, we might even say all inclusively, the Bodhisattva gives himself in his relationships with other people. He doesn't, as it were, just give a part of himself and hold the rest back. He gives all of himself all the time. As Walt Whitman says in one of his poems, "When I give myself." And this is just what the Bodhisattva does. Now, as many of you know, I have myself lived in the East, in Buddhist countries, and in India, which is mainly a Hindu country, for many, many years. And I must say that one of the most attractive and one of the most pleasing features of life in the East, especially the Buddhist East, is people's wonderful generosity. If the Buddhists of the East have not really learned any other teaching of the Buddha, at least they have learned this. At least they have learned to be not just generous, but even, one may say, overwhelmingly generous. And they usually practice some form of dana, some form of giving, some form of generosity, even every day. And some of you know that I like sometimes to reminisce and to recall occasions on which I myself came down, say, to Calcutta from my own hermitage in Kalimpong, came down to Calcutta, met lots of my old Buddhist friends, especially Buddhist monks coming from Ceylon, coming from Thailand, coming from Vietnam, coming from Japan, and we'd always have a very happy and fruitful time together. And I remember that as soon as I entered the door, two or three monks would say, "What do you need? What do you want?" And they say, "Do you need a fountain pen? Well, here is one. Do you need some paper? Here is some paper. Do you need a typewriter? Do you want some money? Is short of anything?" At once they would want to give. This is a very general, one might even say a universal impulse in the Buddhist countries of Asia. I remember again I was staying in my very early days with a Burmese Buddhist when I was first settling in Kalimpong, Burmese Buddhist and his wife. And one had to be very, very careful, because if you looked at anything and said it was nice, at once you were given it. and you could not refuse. Yeah? Because apparently it was their Burmese Buddhist tradition, if a guest looked at something and liked it, well, of course, he should have it. Yeah? And I remember that Dr. Ambedkar, the law minister of the government of India, when he went to a Buddhist conference in Burma, was shown a site where they're going to build a new temple. And he said, well, look, the site seems to run across the property of so many people. So what about that? And won't they object? Huh? So he was told, well, why should they object? I mean, if we want the land, we'll just take it. They'll be very happy to give it. And Dr. Ambedkar shook his head and said, well, even in India, it isn't quite like that. People aren't quite so open-handed and quite so generous. I'm quite sure if we went to the city of London and staked out an acre or two that we would like for our new centre, I'm quite sure the people there wouldn't say, well, take it, you can have it. They'd probably prosecute us or do something of that sort. Eh? But this is very much the attitude, very much the feeling in Buddhist countries in the East to give. Eh? And I'm hoping that Buddhists in the West will gradually imbibe something of that same spirit. We shall very soon be having an opportunity of seeing to what extent they've so far imbibed this spirit, because as you know, as many of you know, we shall soon have to leave our present premises, which are due for demolition, and move to new premises, and we need much bigger premises. And when you need much bigger premises in a place like London, which is not conducted on spiritual principles, you need that very tangible, substantial thing called money, or filthy lucre. So we shall be seeing to what extent people are prepared to dig in their pockets and fork out, as it were, that very necessary thing, so that we can all have a bigger and better centre, a new Sakura, as we're calling it, in the heart of London, from which we hope more and more people will derive benefit. So that's the first of the disciplines leading to enlightenment, the discipline of generosity, the discipline of giving. And it's sometimes said in Mahayana countries, well, if you can't do this, you can't give anything. You can't do anything. Never mind if you can't meditate. Never mind if you can't read and understand the scriptures. But at least you can give. If you can't do that, well, you're not on the path to enlightenment in any sense.